While so many people across the country and around the world got caught up in the excitement yesterday as Prince Harry and Meghan Markle exchanged their wedding vows at St. George's, Windsor, a number of us were blessed to share in an analogous, albeit simpler, celebration right here at St. John's, as Bill and Dora Broughton marked their 60th anniversary by renewing their wedding vows. You know, and if our parish actually had royalty, I think many of us would agree that Bill and Dora would certainly be counted amongst that number. Either way, we thank God for them and for the blessing that they have been for our community, for their family, and for one another. And we pray God will continue to bless them in their marriage for many more years to come. And if the newly minted Duke and Duchess of Sussex are fortunate enough, and I pray that they are, to forge a similarly strong partnership in their marriage as Bill and Dora most clearly did, then I know it will be a source of blessing for them and will also make of them a source of blessing for others. Today is Pentecost Sunday, a day that in many ways is all about getting caught up in the excitement. It's a day that's all about being blessed and about becoming a source of blessing for others. Pentecost has often been called the birthday of the church. But Pentecost was already a religious festival for the Jewish people long before it was ever observed as a Christian celebration. In fact, at its origins, Pentecost was actually a harvest festival that later on became associated with celebrating the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And Pentecost was always celebrated exactly 7 weeks, or more precisely, 50 days following Passover, and hence the name Pentecost, which comes from the Greek word for 50. And so here we are this morning, precisely 7 weeks, or on the 50th day, following our Christian Passover celebration at Easter, celebrating our Christian feast of Pentecost. And just as our Christian Passover is a celebration of the spiritual deliverance from rather than an actual physical deliverance from slavery, so too does our Christian Pentecost celebrate a spiritual harvest rather than an agricultural harvest. And it focuses on the giving of God's Spirit rather than on the giving of God's law. And the readings appointed for Pentecost this year speak to us about the very power of God to bring new life and new hope to God's people, and to do so even in the face of deep hardship, loss, and uncertainty. Our first reading this morning was from Ezekiel, who began his career as a prophet soon after the land of Judah had been overrun by the armies of Babylon. Thousands had been killed in those devastating attacks, and thousands more, including Ezekiel, were carried off into exile. And it was in the midst of that exile in Babylon that Ezekiel had his famous vision that we read this morning. A vision in which Ezekiel was transported by the Spirit of God to a valley filled with skeletal remains stretching as far as the eye could see. And in the midst of this grotesque and desolate place, God asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live again?" And Ezekiel's reply, that God alone would know, was less an affirmation of God's power than it was perhaps an expression of the apparent absurdity of the question itself. And so God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, and despite his skepticism, Ezekiel did as God instructed. And to his astonishment, the bones came together with a rattling sound, and with flesh and sinew, the bodies were reassembled. And then God told Ezekiel to summon the winds. And when Ezekiel did so, life-giving breath the very Spirit of God blew over and into these inanimate bodies such that they came to life again. And we're told that this powerful vision was to be God's response, proclaimed through the prophet Ezekiel to the people of Israel in their despair. Because in the aftermath of the terrible destruction of their homeland, and in the context of their difficult exile in Babylon, the Israelites had come to lament that they were nothing more than dried up bones. And yet in the face of this hardship, and in the midst of their loss and uncertainty, God spoke through Ezekiel a life-giving word, proclaiming that the dry bones of God's people would be powerfully transformed by God's holy and life-giving Spirit. And in our passage from John's Gospel this morning, we heard Jesus proclaim to his disciples a similar life-giving word, promising in essence that the dry bones of their faith and witness would also be transformed by the Spirit of God. Jesus tells his disciples on the night before his dreadful passion that even though he must leave them, they will not be left alone. "I am going to the one who sent me," Jesus said, "but it is to your advantage that I go. Because if I go, I will send the advocate to you, and when the Spirit of truth comes to you, you will be led into all truth." In this text, Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for the difficult road that he knew would lay ahead for them. And despite how devastating his death would unquestionably be for them, Jesus promises his disciples that they will be strengthened by the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit to not just face, but to triumph over whatever horrors or hardships or hurts would most assuredly come. And then in our Acts reading this morning, we heard how this promise of Jesus came true for his disciples. When the day of Pentecost had come, we read, they were all together in one place in Jerusalem. And suddenly, as if from heaven, there came a sound of a mighty wind, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're told that the amazing display of charismatic fervor and powerful preaching that followed that outpouring of the Spirit led that day to the addition of many converts to the faith. And from that Pentecost experience and ever since, God's Spirit has been at work in the world, both in and through the disciples of Christ, in every place and in every generation. So Pentecost reminds us, therefore, that the God we worship seeks constantly to bring new life to dry bones. God did so in the past, God is doing so right now, and God will continue to do so in the future, come what may. And as Carolyn reminded us in her sermon last week, there is much in life that sometimes and understandably causes us to feel like dry bones. From church bombings in Indonesia to school shootings in the U.S., from protests to needless bloodshed along the border wall in Gaza, from extreme weather events and natural disasters to the worries and troubles in our own lives or in the lives of those we love. And so our dry bones can come in many different ways and from many different sources. Perhaps we've experienced a loss or a disappointment that has wounded us deeply. Perhaps we've experienced some great injustice or unfairness that, try as we might, we can't forget or forgive. Perhaps we have a relationship at home or at work or even in this community that has sapped all of the moisture of human kindness from our souls. Perhaps our own hearts have dried up, untouched or untouchable. Or perhaps our spirits have dried up, such that we come to worship more out of obligation than gratitude, more out of habit than faith, more out of acquiescence than hope. Whatever the cause or the reason, we too at times feel defeated and despairing, like the Israelites in exile. We too, at times, feel weary and frightened, like the grief-stricken disciples of Jesus. And so, like the story of Ezekiel's vision of dry bones brought to new life, and like the story of the Pentecost experience of the disciples in Jerusalem, we too need to be reminded that God is still at work in our midst, even when it's hard for us to see it or to trust it. We too need to recall and believe that through God's Spirit, God is seeking to bring new life and new hope both to us and also through us. Pentecost is a day when we are powerfully reminded that we should expect and can lay claim to the life-giving power of God's Spirit, because the healing breath of God is without question still able to restore our desiccated hearts, still able to bring forgiveness to past injuries and injustices, still able to heal our broken hearts and broken relationships, and to breathe new life into tired communities. And so Pentecost Sunday is indeed a day that's all about getting caught up in the excitement. It's all about being blessed and becoming a source of blessing for others. For just as Ezekiel saw dry bones brought to life, and just as the followers of Jesus experienced new life in the upper room in Jerusalem, so too can we experience the wind of God's Spirit blowing and breathing afresh both within and amongst us, renewing us, inspiring us, and empowering us to be sources of new life and new hope for one another and for the world. Happy Pentecost. Happy birthday.